over on Ulster Road.
Ulster Road, yeah. Where the Shadbird Bridge.
Yeah. The curtain isn't that bad. I don't think you've ever gone across that bridge.
Oh, yeah.
We
need to identify the
team.
Yes, okay.
When you go to, when you drive by that road, you might, just as a matter of interest, think the steps that go to our old house, you know, where the old house is. Mm-hmm. One time, there was a flood king girl on the scene of our,
it shows the park, and
that
might, onion fields.
This is the river here?
Yes.
And this was your house?
Yes.
No, this would be safe. What is there?
Ivan, for purposes of the tape, we need to have your name.
Okay. I'm Ivan Elsner.
Okay, and you lived on Elsner Road, Tiger.
Elsner Road, Sherwood Route 4.
Sherwood Route 4.
It's 4-2-0.
When did you leave the farm?
September of 69.
Now, how large was the farm?
125 acres, I believe.
All onions with the farm?
No, this was an onion field here that we had cattle farming.
I see.
Hay, grain, and apples.
Now, several brothers farmed together?
My brother Richard Herbert and myself.
Mm-hmm. Now, were you born there?
No, I was not born there, but I was born in another farmhouse that was part of the farm.
I see.
Actually, my father bought this place, the adjoining farm, a year or so after I was born.
I see. That's long time the purpose that you were born here, right?
Right.
But the house is no longer there, you say?
The house is there.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Now, were there three houses on the place with three brothers?
There were three houses on the place, yes. Actually, there were four. This was kind of a little house that I can remember when I was a kid. My father had some Chinamen, either Chinamen or Japanese people living in there. Husband and a wife, I believe. I'm not sure. Maybe they're quite. I was real young, and that's. But I do remember.
Well, now, were these houses, was this house built after?
This house was built, my brother Richard's house. Mm-hmm. That was built later.
Now, here's this house.
That's a neighboring house. Okay. That's where the Nixon family lived.
So you remember water then from the river right up in here?
Up to the road level.
Yeah, right.
Once it came up to your second steps, didn't it, by the mailbox?
What a nice aerial picture.
That is nice. When was this picture taken?
I can't remember. No. See, here's where the park was.
Probably in the 50s.
Right down below in here.
Oh, the park was here. So you got to the park from...
Right,
this
right straight from the drive.
Here.
Right,
it looks like there's a road here.
Is it a road there?
It is.
Well, what did the park consist
this
of?
This is...
Well, it consists of...
Yeah.
Well, Let's see, now, so they went swimming, and then there was there kind of a bull ramp with a bull in?
This is up at Tiger.
Well, you could put a bull in, there was no real bull.
Red Rock area.
Just put a barrel on the bank.
Just slide it up.
We knew those people, but it's almost.
There's no way to back.
How deep was the river?
Almost in front of Myers, all around that side.
Oh, yeah, I remember that Red Rock Dairy Road.
15 feet or so in the summer, I don't really know, but that would be my guess, at least 15 to 20 feet up the middle.
Okay, so it's kind of dangerous, it's kind of.
Well, not really.
Not if you knew how to swim.
Not if you knew how to swim.
Well, I'm interested in all these floats that people used to have on there, who made those, did you make them yourself?
Mike McCann made that float, Edith, you got that picture of the float?
Yeah, that was my favorite memory.
The what?
We had, I think, two floats.
You've got any of those pictures of floats with Marion and.
Well, here's the kids on the float.
Oh, my golly, golly.
Herbie's kids when they was little, of course, I don't know, here's the pic, the sign.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my.
You don't still have the sign, do you?
It was on my brother's place when he died.
Might be sitting in that chicken house there somewhere.
Oh, my gosh, go check it out, that should be saved, you know, for your family, if not for.
But I imagine it's only rust.
Well, now.
Was it metal?
Yeah.
Did Ronald get that, maybe Ronald has it.
Ronald might have some park sign.
I think he might have, yeah.
I'm pretty sure he has got some.
You know Carol and Ronald?
You know.
Anyway, they live up there.
Kruger Road.
Kruger Road.
There in the house.
Carol and Elsner?
Yeah. You can look them up in the telephone book.
So this, what year is this picture taken in?
No idea.
How many years did the park operate?
Well, I'm not sure, I know it was.
Those flood pictures of the park.
It was operating.
Since when they was in there too. It was clear up to the top, you just barely see those fence posts.
Yeah, was that like 70?
They never used to bring.
What was the bad flood, 72, was it?
I would say sometime around the 27, 28.
That plastic one, yeah.
Probably, I think that's where Richard had flooded their basement.
Probably up in around 56, something like that.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So it operated from about 28 till about 56?
I think so.
Well, I'm.
Because the only reason I can say that is I'm thinking of my dad, I think he died in about 58. Seems to me that he did keep it open on a limited basis even after the river was done. Dad kept that park open as long as he was alive, didn't he, Edith, even though it wasn't on a full-time basis, do you remember?
Yes, pretty much, right up till.
Right up till the time he died?
Oh, no.
No, no?
Couple years before that. On the river parks.
Why, that's right, it was, he kept calling, that's all.
I'd say at least till around 56, of course, after the river went bad and everything, why it was more.
Now, when did the river become this actually unswimmable?
Oh. Trying to think, I would assume it would probably be getting in the early 50s. You took the kids over there.
Cindy was born in 55, and I took the kids swimming there was, probably they was 3 or 4 years old. 70. She was 4, I don't know, 55, see, so probably 57, something like that.
Well, Dad died in 58.
And then you closed the park.
That's about the time, yeah.
You closed the park.
So I'd say last years or so, he was, well, I'd say probably 56, 57, wasn't ready.
Whose park on the river was the first to open? How did this get started?
I have no idea. I think Romer's Rest was probably the first to open, because I can remember when I was just real young in grade school, that the neighbors would come and get me when
your apartment, I suppose the others were something like that. Were they open just on weekends, or?
I think Roma's Rest was open probably all the time we were. And Roma's Rest at that time had a elevated tower on rollers, you know, and people were going down on these sleds and sliding out into the river.
I remember that, the slide, yeah. I never had the courage to do that, but I always admired those. Yes, it's just a river slide, but it went on into the river. Boy. Well, now, what was the admission that you charged to the park? Can you remember?
I think it was 25 cents. That one, as near as I can remember. It may have gone higher, but I can remember the 25 cents a person.
Well, did you collect it up at the gate up here, or when you got down?
Well, as soon as they drove below the inn, we stood at the...
Mm-hmm.
Right here at the bottom of this road.
Yeah. It was 25 cents a car, 25 cents a person.
25 cents a person.
Sure.
Now, you had to have somebody there at all times to, or you could...
Well, it was rather loosely run operation.
Yeah.
If there happened to be nobody one there, we would go back and contact the people.
Mm-hmm.
Because during the week, and a lot of times, you know, there wouldn't be many people.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, that's your understanding. Well, now you say there was another park above.
Yes, Nixon's. I was talking to Maxine just the other day.
Mm-hmm.
Their park was right here, just
mm-hmm.
before you go across the bridge.
Mm.
You can't see it. It doesn't.
And it was, what was it called, Nixon's?
I think it was called Riverside Park. You'd have to contact Maxine. I'm not for sure just what they called it.
No, that's Maxine.
They didn't call it Nixon.
And that's Maxine who?
Maxine Stringer.
I'll give
Stringer.
You her.
I guess she won't.
Oh, she'd be happy to talk.
Yeah. I don't know.
There's
some stuff.
Let's
see. About that. I don't know if it's all. I just thought maybe there was dates in there. I'm not sure.
Ivan, could you in any way date these pictures?
Well, this one, that old Case tractor, I imagine that had to be around between 1923 and 25, somewhere
mm-hmm.
in that area.
Would you mind if we wrote on a pencil in the back of that door?
You know, I have an idea that the picture that's in the calendar wasn't the covered bridge. There was a covered bridge over the 12th and curving at the Austin Hall. The bridge was later replaced by a simple wooden one, which is probably the one that's
mm-hmm.
shown.
Mm-hmm.
About 6 years in a concrete one. Shepherd Bridge was completed. So chances are that's the wooden bridge, and the one that we have in the calendar was the later one that replaced it, rather than being a scaffold framework for the, rather than being in the process of construction.
Well, but Ivan, you remember a covered bridge.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Yes, but that's that one,
mm-hmm.
which might not be the same as the one that we have in the picture.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
Well, you know, this is just an artist's conception.
Yeah, but it is based on this actual snapshot that
right.
we did here.
Date on the onion harvest here?
Oh, that probably had to be I would say this had to be sometime around 42, I'd say probably around 45.
The binder. Now, what did the binder do? The binder, did that bundle up
that cut the grain and put it into bundles, and the bundles had to be shocked and taken to the, and put on a bundle wagon and taken to the thrashing machine.
I see.
Thrown
I see.
Into the field. still alive.
Oh, he is.
88 years old.
So did someone have to ride back here, Ivan?
Somebody had to ride back there and see the bundles all gathered up here on kind of a platform, and then they would, when there was a load there, they would press the lever and the bundles would go off. They put them out in rows so make it more convenient. And of course, you needed constant attention to keep the thing going, the twine would knot up and so on. So if somebody wasn't there, you'd have a lot of loose bundles to fight around.
So the person that rode here then would release the lever to let the bundles on?
Mm-hmm.
I see.
Right there, I know the grain wouldn't. So tall and tangled up, it wouldn't feed up to where the.
Yeah, I guess it
that's
is
why he's down there fighting around with it.
Oh, I'm so thrilled to see these pictures.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Really?
Really,
yeah.
I am.
Yeah.
To me, farming in the old way.
Yeah.
Is,
well,
yeah.
We're both farm girls, so
yeah.
Oh, great.
Means a lot to us.
So interesting,
yeah.
And we don't want to lose this.
Yeah.
This
I just don't
knowledge.
Think
another
they
generation.
Had any interest to anybody
oh,
but
well.
Me.
Oh, don't you think that, no.
But and another generation and it will be, you know, just gone from memory.
Yeah.
So.
Now, 1936, did you say?
Let's see how... I would say 36. I think that's a fair guess.
And then also this was the...
That's Fred Seigert's thrashing machine.
Oh, yeah. Who's this sitting here?
I'm not for sure, but I think one of them is Bob Pleat. Robert Pleat. He's dead.
Pleat,
I don't know. I don't have any idea who the other man would be.
Okay, and about what time? See, I'm going to write Fred. If you don't mind, write Fred Seigert's thrashing machine.
I don't mind.
Grain would come off here into
it.
Are there two sacks here, or is that one sack?
Two sacks,
two
so
sacks.
They could one could be filling while the other one was taken off.
And then
sold.
One of these fellow would sew it up.
Mm-hmm. Then somebody would pack it up there.
Mm-hmm.
Then you'd haul it away with a truck.
Mm-hmm. Labor intensive, wouldn't it? But sure beats cutting with a handsaw.
Yeah. Yeah. This is stationary, so that the
right.
So the bundles would be, or the bundles, what do they call this? The binders.
The bundles.
Bundles.
Yeah.
Would be brought here, and then this is all the chaff that's
I remember Fred Seigert's machine coming over to my dad's place.
That was
when
my...
I was just a little kid, and these big,
Rumley oil pulled tractors chugging along.
Yeah, made a lot
big
of noise.
Big old smokestack.
And the big pulleys running from the tractor to the threshing machine made a lot of noise, and they had horses, too, that would take, pick up the... Somebody throw the bundles onto the wagon and the horses would take out the threshing machine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was
I
really
see.
Impressed just a little kid.
So that machine lumbered all the way over to your place then from Fred Seigert?
He did a lot. All
Fred
the
Seigert thrashed all over the country.
I see. Oh, that's an interesting story itself.
Mm-hmm. Well, this has got a date on it, good. This has got a date. This says that the only case automobile in Washington was from 1825. So this is your father.
That's my father.
Case Automobile, was that a make automobile?
Case Automobile.
Was it Case
but
Tractor Company that made cars?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
But that date is just a little bit fast because he bought a new case in 1925 and it had big balloon tires on it.
Mm-hmm.
It was entirely different looking on it.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say it would have to be at least 23 or 24 if he were 1925 had big balloon tires and four wheel brakes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I see. So this is the same. This is the same binder as this. So this is side view, so you can see.
Well, it might not be the same binder because this is a good many years later.
Oh, I see. This one's later.
This is
mm-hmm.
later. This is.
I see.
Entirely different binder. That
I
one.
See.
That one.
But you can see how it
same
works.
Principle.
Same principle.
Well, of course, this one, the machinery operated off the power takeoff from the tractor. I think this one just had what they call a bull wheel.
Oh, I see.
That going along the ground these binders, and when you had to go through gates or down the road or anything, they had a hitch, turned around, and we hauled them the other direction.
Oh, God, thanks.
Kind of a little chore to get them.
Now, how did it work? Between each of these paddle wheels, it compressed a
stand? Well, those wheels just turned around and pushed the grain onto a turning canvas.
I see.
That when the grain fell on it, then the canvas would travel and kept traveling, and then pulled the grain up through the machine.
But at some point it was tied? Did you say?
Pardon?
At some point it was tied?
That's right. When it got up in here, why, a knotter went around it.
Did you have trouble with a knotter line?
Well, probably knotter and twine bolt.
Did that work mechanically, or did this person have to...
No, that was automatic.
Now, where was the blade that cut the wheat?
That was right in front of these paddles. It was on the front end here.
Mm-hmm.
Near the tractor side. It was a regular sickle that was
sickle.
There.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sickle cut it and fell backwards on the canvas. Came up through. The canvas took it up through here.
Hmm. You didn't keep any of this old machines?
No, that's just, I was wondering where the work would find one of these things. Now, we had a binder just in the lean-to of the barn that Dad never used. And we just used the regular cutter, terrible one, simple blade.
Mm-hmm.
And just raked it up and then used it on the wagon and brought it in.
Karen's father was Mark Lafke.
I heard that name.
Yeah, and he grew a Dutch-Irish bulbs.
Oh.
And one of the things too.
Well, anyway, I don't know.
Well, you were early to get tractors on your farm, then. You must have had a prosperous farm.
I think Dad probably did have a prosperous farm.
You remember working with horses?
I remember working with horses. I used to mow hay with horses.
Yeah.
And brings me back to the onion field. Why, when I would come home from school, at first, they hauled those onions in a box wagon in the real early days. And I guess you know what a box wagon is. It's got sides on it.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, they'd load them in back, and they'd have to pack it to the front, because at that time, the trucks couldn't negotiate that soft onion. They had solid rubber tires, you know, and they just sink down. At least on our place. And my brother, as soon as I'd get home, my brother would have me sit on the seat and drive the horses, which was always a challenge because those wheels were always sinking in the dirt.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I was always afraid I was going to get the wagon stuck just
mm-hmm.
being a kid.
Yeah.
But when you'd stop to load those onions, sometimes it would go down quite a bit, and the horses would really strain to move on.
When did your dad give up his workhorses?
I imagine probably in the... probably along about 43, somewhere in that area. Near as I can remember. It may have been earlier than that. When this tractor came along, which was the one here on this onion equipment, I think we bought that in 41, and it was light. Light surface.
This cap?
This one.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the undoing of the horses, because you could do any kind of surface work with this type of tractor.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I assume that it must have been working about 43 or so.
Is that a Caterpillar tractor?
That's a plate tractor. It's a, at that time it was Caterpillar and plate tractor, and then later on came John Deere with I guess everybody makes a crawler now.
Did you?
But that time, they tried to
get that
going. And of course, Caterpillar was predominant.
Yeah. So everybody calls them caddies.
Yeah.
How many acres of onions did you raise?
10.
Oh, 10 acres.
Please.
Now, when did they change from hand weeding to mechanical?
That's right.
Getting a
Well, we never did ever get entirely away from hand weeding. Well, when I was there,
we could have this.
We had pretty good chemical weed control along about.
Yes.
I have to think about that.
That lady stopped the only other one.
Yes, she did.
I would say that we didn't have really very good chemical control until.
That's right.
Sometime around the mid-50s.
Should they have put the park out there?
Of course. I just can't really.
Come across the Shandong Bridge and step out.
Really pin it down. But I can remember how miserable the stuff was to put on, because I applied it.
Well, how did you do it? You didn't have a tractor with a sprayer behind it like we do nowadays.
Well, we.
Starn Hall, Sherwood, what in the world? Excuse me.
That's all right. You weren't old enough to get the dance up.
No.
14? Oh, no.
My gosh.
What building would that be? Is that a building that's still?
No, it was where, it's where, on the corner where the bank would be.
Right.
And then later on, that building burnt down.
That's right.
I was there when that burnt down.
That was not too long ago, that burnt.
No, not. Probably in the 50s, early 50s or late 40s.
I see. And this is upstairs?
46 or something.
And this is over the, no, this is over the bank?
It would have been, yeah, there's a big building on the corner there.
Right.
Of course, there was no bank there at that time.
No bank there.
Yeah. So what was the, but this is the upper floor, or was this the, just the?
Yeah.
So what was underneath?
Wasn't it? I wasn't there. I would know.
Underneath?
What was the ground floor, or was it, or was this the ground floor?
No, that's all up on the second story.
So what was underneath?
Well, when I came here, they were dancing down below.
I can't remember what was underneath.
And then there was a hardware store there when we first was married, and when it burnt down, there was a Fisher's Hardware Store was underneath. Now, I don't know.
Before that, there was Kilpatrick's Grocery Store under there.
Oh, yeah. Grocery Store over there.
Yeah, Kilpatrick's Grocery Store.
And I think underneath was just kind of a, I don't know, storage or what.
When we first came here, they were dancing in back of the, that building, on the ground floor. And then soon after, us girls came here and they quit dancing in there.
I remember going up the steps to this dance hall, and I can't, the steps were on the railroad side of the building. And they were interior steps, so I mean, they were out on the side or anything.
Can you remember how late that might have been, a dance hall up there?
Well, I know I was probably about 16 when my sister took me over there to try to teach me to dance, so that was. And I imagine it was probably there about four or five more years after that. So what, I'm 71 now. Take 55 away from 89, go back around 34, right?
I see.
Sounds right.
My brother Herb should remember.
And that was going in 1914.
My gosh, from 14 to.
Do you remember him showing pictures on the end of that?
You bet. In Sherwood?
Yeah.
Oh, the Thursday night free movies.
On the end of what?
Well, there was a storehouse, a warehouse.
Yeah.
Howard Smith used to have a warehouse. I think it was him when we first came.
Yeah.
Somebody.
That was a nice dance hall.
And it was right over the railroad tracks where those apartments are now.
Yeah, just kind of vacant lot.
Right close to the road.
Uh-huh.
And they showed movie pictures on the side of that thing, and you sat out there on benches.
Benches, yeah.
And every Saturday night, they had, what was it?
Thursday nights, I remember. Yeah. That was just, I guess during the summer only, and I don't know how many years they did that.
Well, they were still doing it in, I don't know when they started, but when we moved here in 1940, they were still doing it.
Yeah, I think the late 50s, I remember.
Do you know the Merles, or did you know the Merle family? Well, I'm sure that one of the Merle brothers was a predominant orchestra that played in the.
I know, of course, the daughter, Loretta, she played the organ at a lot of.
Well, but she may be, I think.
Her mother still lives up here, you know, above the Tiger Care Center not him.
Yeah. Oh, really? Mm.
I think it was Oscar Merle. I'm not for sure.
Mm.
He was never in the butcher business or anything like Vic and Max.
Gee. I don't know if you can get a copy. I'll have to take it down and see if you can, I can get a copy of that on a machine. I don't know if it'll copy off.
Well, I've had luck with copying colored things. It doesn't do, yeah.
Probably better than...
No doubt, no doubt.
What a good way to have fun.
I should say so. So much more dancing all the way through the through the 30s and then the 40s,
right.
Some, and then it just kind of petered out.
Mm-hmm. Well, Hikes played there later on?
Oh, I bet.
Hikes played there a lot, not in that dance hall. They played on the when there was a dance hall on the bottom floor, on the street level.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if the people in Sherwood know about this.
Ooh,
we have a little cool.
I doubt it.
Oh, golly. Well, listen, we started, saw this, and butt in. You were talking about spraying the onions.
Oh, well, when I first started to spray onions, Randox was the predominant weed control. And I guess it's not allowed anymore. I think Joe Galvin told me it's been outlawed. But anyway, we used to walk behind the garden tractor with the tank on the top, which was kind of a primitive or pioneer way to do it, but had sprayed about 12 rows at a time, put on boots, and just I wore a mask and just went ahead and did it. But it was really very effective. It practically kept, when the onions came out, they were pretty much weed free. Of course, sometimes had little damage to the onions, and so the weather didn't cooperate or rained right afterwards. But that's my extended experience. That's all the only ones with weed control I ever used. And it just, we called it Death Valley down there afterwards.
Oh, really?
Because those fumes, you could just sense them. Well, that's like this, what was it, Vietnam, the
Agent Orange,
that we used that practically everybody, I think, around here was soaked in that stuff.
Really? Really?
I know I used a lot of it, and I wondered about it at the time, my clothes would be soaked in a good spray of wheat, banks, and waterways, and try to control the weeds in the middle of the sea. It was worked pretty good. It's like the
pretty healthy.
Like DDT, you know, when that came out, where you were supposed to be able to eat it, and then we didn't even use a mask to dust it with when it first came.
What did you use for insecticide control?
Insecticide? No, we used I can't hardly remember. I'm trying to remember what we used. You're thinking like bugs on the plants.
Mm-hmm.
I think DDT was the first effective
so before
insecticide.
DDT, you didn't do anything?
I don't think they did.
Oh, well, I saw a picture one time of Don Galbraith. I think it's in that book, the Tiger book, with some kind of a screen device.
Well, that was for maggot fly control.
Oh, did that work pretty good?
I'm trying that. Well, I didn't think of that as a... No.
Oh, it didn't?
We had one.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of a joke.
Oh.
What did we use for that maggot control? There was an effective... Of course, you used formaldehyde to control the smut.
Did you put that on with a duster, or?
That was put in a solution with the seed, with the water solution, the soap onions. I cannot remember what else they used. I know we used another agent to control those maggots. But I import your food from some other country.
Yeah, they use it. They use it, yeah.
You can eat a lot of it.
Oh, yeah, uh-huh, mm-hmm.
Did you ever find arrowheads on your place?
They used to find a lot of them.
Did you save any?
I don't have any. They were pretty well gone before. I don't think I personally ever found an arrowhead before other people had. And I've seen people find a few. They were pretty well cleaned out pretty fast. But there's one field there on the farm that I'm sure has some artifacts in it because when it was plowed, well, occasionally you'd get one of the stone dishes or grinders.
Mm-hmm.
There must have been a lot of Indian flowing there.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
This is an article about Karen's family.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, this is where they ended. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. Yeah.
Well, you've undoubtedly got that.
Yeah.
Paper.
Yeah.
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 I remember reading these articles about tigers, but I didn't save them.
Yeah, but I didn't save them.
The Quackenbush home, family home, was later used as the roadhouse, the spinning wheel, which is fire.
How about
what?
That?
There we go.
My gosh.
Well, it's
I told you I thought that house was spinning.
You did, he did. Uh-huh.
All right. And now, do you remember it? Do you remember they were seeing it?
Oh, I saw it from the outside. I don't think I was old enough to go into it.
You were going to admit it anyway, right?
We heard one person say that there was an escape route out back, a road out back that led to Twellum Road or something from the times when it was raided. Had you ever heard that story?
No, I didn't know that.
Warm
but I knew it was kind of a gambling or some kind of an illegal operation.
It must have been raided.
But I'm surprised there was nothing said about Burke's roadhouse up there.
There was another roadhouse.
On in the same place?
Bull Mountain.
On Bull Mountain Road, where Dr. Mansfield lives. That was a famous place there in the 20s for rich people from Portland come out there with cars and dinners.
Now, what place was
Dr. Mansfield's?
Mansfield's house.
Is it right on Bull Mountain Road or off?
It's right on Bull Mountain Road, within 100 feet of it.
And it still stands?
No, it's
on the right.
Converted into nice family residence. Mm-hmm.
On the right as you leave Highway 99?
Yeah, there's a big store, a two-story house on the right.
I see.
Well, when you get up the first stretch on the Bull Mountain, probably another half mile. Do you remember what that street of Fred DeWitt's is? I'd say it's around the 130.
Something like that.
I see.
His was 113 or something.
It stands around, what's that road up by House of Weekies?
That's 150.
Well, then I'd say it's around 130.
It's back this way, yeah.
And, it's got a circular driveway around it, and I know that I used to stand down home, and sometimes they have something special going on there, and they'd have airplanes come out and do stunts and stuff over there. At least that was my assumption, because why would an airplane go up into that area and spend a lot of time doing aerial maneuvers?
That was a roadhouse, and it was called what again?
Burke's. That was the name of the owner, and there was a Burke's. She moved into Portland and opened another restaurant after that.
Hmm.
Burke's Chalet or something?
Burke's Chalet? I've heard of that.
Oh, my goodness.
It, I think, was probably a little bit like the spinning wheel.
During Prohibition.
Yeah, I think they probably had their... Well, they didn't, I guess.
Was there gambling also, like it was at the spinning wheel? Or was it just
I didn't hear that so much, but I assume there was private gambling there.
Well, that erases all together the doubt that whether that Quackenbush house was the spinning wheel.
Well, it was nice that you ran into that.
I guess.
Juicy little tidbit.
That's just how you find one little thing here will match up with some little thing there.
Oh, can we? Can we borrow all this stuff and make copies of it and we'll get it back? We're real careful.
I can get you one of that aerial view if you want it. I can.
I don't know.
I have the film to that.
Oh, you do?
We have the negative.
It costs about $10 to get it.
That size, yeah.
I can have it small.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We would need profile saving.
You know, those onions, when I was a kid, they'd plant them one row at a time behind a bush drill.
Mm.
I don't know how many, just one row.
Now, is your farm still used as an onion farm? Is it still
used? Yes, it is.
Yeah. Does it look something like that still?
Well, these buildings here, when we sold, these buildings all were burned down.
Oh.
No, then let's see.
Two sheds right.
Okay. This is all gone.
The
barn and this were still here, and then they added a lot out in here. This house here, my mother's half-brother lived there when I was a kid. He was a logger and the outdoorsman. He's the one that would take a drink of water out of the river and make it fish. Anyway, he spent most of his winters trapping on the river.
Wow.
And he'd have minks and all kinds of skin. It was kind of a treasure to me to go to his house and see all these skins and things.
Well, on these bergs, getting back to the Berg's Roadhouse. Are there any Berg's left that you know of? Who would know any information about that?
I don't know. I'm sure there must be some Berg's left because I think there were some daughters. But then, even that, I wouldn't say for sure. I never knew Mrs. Berg or anything. I just knew the name and the place. Maybe Dr. Mansfield might know something as to his house, but I doubt it.
I have no idea.
But he might, yes.
He might know something about being living there. Got interested in his house.
The historian, the river parks would be so interesting. What if there are pictures of images of all of the Rummer's Rest Park?
You showed them the best picture we had in the book, didn't you?
Yeah, that was just a beautiful picture.
That's, I have a film to that someplace, so I can hunt it up from.
That was a big boat. It was, had so many people on it. It was about a water level or something.
Oh, yeah.
There were two tanks in it.
Yeah.
One depth for the little kid.
Oh, yeah, yes.
And then there was a diving board off of it.
Riser kids all was over there and the young riser.
Gorgeous.
Now, did people swim in the river?
Porchers. They all was over there swimming all the time.
Oh, sure.
Raven porchers and all that.
Oh, yeah. Lorene Porchers is my sister-in-law now.
Oh.
She married my brother.
Oh, is that right?
Uh-huh.
Well, I bet she remembers.
Well, yes, I'm sure she does. Ray, you know, her brother died a couple of years ago.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Herb still lives in the old home place.
Yeah.
Have you seen or know anything about how Herb's doing?
Pretty well.
Pretty well.
Yeah, still by himself there. Yeah, I think he goes down, he has a house down, I think goes next to his sister, kind of between his sister and Herb and Ray's house.
Oh.
He goes down there once in a while.
How old is he now?
Tony Amstead.
Oh, he is. Did he buy it?
Yeah, he's
bought it. Home there, right where those sheds were down.
Is that where he built his house?
He's got a big home.
Uh-huh.
Right in...
Yeah,
right in down here. That road on the way home.
I'd like to do that.
Yeah.
Now, your house is still standing. Is it lived in also?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. He has people living in
it. He's hired help.
I see.
You mean he actually...
They put a carport on it up there or something. Otherwise,
well, wait a minute. Here's the onion ground.
That's the onion ground. Okay,
I'm sorry.
Okay.
That color threw me.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He's right in here by the entrance to the place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've heard it once.
Back to the floats or the park. Were people allowed to swim in the river itself, or did they have to stay in the
No, they dived into the river and swam in the river.
Do you never worried about liability?
Dad had liability insurance.
Oh, great. Even back then, you had
that. Fred Anderson, I think, got him insured through Lloyd's of London.
Oh, really?
I don't remember what it was, but it seemed to me it was around, I don't know, the figure 250 comes to my mind, whether that's right, but that's kind
of... That's a lot of money for 25 cents a head.
There was no lifeguard. They claimed as long as the signs were posted that there was no lifeguard that to swim at your own risk.
Was there ever any injury or anything?
There was one person drowned there just before the war. Japanese came and jumped in the river. Some other Japanese people brought him in, and I guess he couldn't swim, and he just went out there and never came back.
You know, I heard at Romer's Rest, maybe it wasn't Romer's Rest, one of the parks, not this one, that some kids were weeding onions down on Sherwood Flats. Got off work, and it was a real hot day, and jumped into the river. Did you ever hear that?
I think I did.
Snorkel floats.
I think they had more than one drowning. You know, there were thousands of people
there.
It stands to reason that they must have had several.
Mm-hmm. They had a dance floor down there.
Yeah, I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. And it was just dancing there at the end of the evening.
Dad had a dance floor there in his park.
He did? Yeah.
That's
where?
What I say.
I thought you meant at Romer's Rest.
Oh, my goodness. A regular enclosed building?
In the winter, they took it up and put it in the barn.
So it was just a floor. It wasn't an enclosed building.
No. Did you have a band or do you have a
record? Usually records.
Some of them brought their own music, didn't they, once in a while?
I think so. Most of them was records.
Yeah.
How exciting this is to find out how people used to live.
I should say. So
they roll out the barrel every Sunday morning.
So you had an electrical outlet there, so they could plug in their whatever kind of primitive
We had electricity run down through there.
I'll be done. Well, what else did you have down there? Do you have picnic tables?
Stoves. Fireplaces.
Cook on. Trash burner type.
Bathhouse, and they had a little house. Mallory still got the little house, pop house they called it, where he sold pop and cigarettes and candy.
Mm-hmm.
We had one of those, I still got it in there. I think told the prices of things. You wouldn't believe the price.
Oh gosh, that. Well, now, would you have an outhouse for toilet facilities?
Oh yes, there was at least four outhouses down there, and then the men's and women's dressing place.
Nice. Gee, do you, because none of this shows up in this picture.
No, it
doesn't. Do you have anywhere at all a picture of the park?
Well, we've got some, I guess, of the storm pictures, I think, that might show some of that. That the main picnic area was back off the picture.
Mm-hmm.
So this was just kind of a ball area in here.
Yeah.
And there were some picnic tables up in here, but this must have been taken after I can't locate the float, so that may have been taken after a good part of that was all gone. Has to be.
Now, how large was the whole park in acres?
Well, sometimes, I guess if you'd call it acres, I would probably say there was at least 9-10 acres down there. A lot of times, we'd have to park cars up into this area to get too crowded back here.
Mm-hmm.
But this was primarily pasture and whatnot up here, but if we got too crowded, we'd put the cars up in there.
Now, was the park open, say, from June to September, or what?
Primarily, yeah. As far as being really operational, yes. If somebody came and wanted to go in or go fishing or something, but a lot of times somebody would just come and bring their boat and want to know if they could go in. But actually, the park operation is the summer months.
Now, was this low ground that would tend to flood?
That would have to be underwater to get over the road.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I'm just a normal winter when the river got high. Would it flood there or
nearly always you'd get some water up here.
I see.
Nearly always.
Well, did it hurt your buildings quite a bit?
Well, they were tied down. They didn't usually get over 2 or 3 feet high, you know. So they weren't really hurt. No, you'd have to wash the mud and stuff up. But they were anchored with cables and rocks.
1941, those are the prices.
Edith, do you know where those storm pictures are?
No, this is what you got wholesale. This is your wholesale price.
I've been hunting them, and I just can't find them. I can't put my hands on them.
It's 72 cents.
So, probably would be in a case 12.
Probably have to be more than that.
That's right, it'd be 24 maybe.
Do you know Gerda Saragino still alive?
I believe she is.
She was an Anderson.
Yes, yeah, she's Fred's sister.
Right.
What's her first name?
Gerda.
I got the films, but I can't figure out, if you look in there, you can see the...
You have a very well-organized house, if you can find these
not very well, because I can't find the darn,
anyway,
there was Shelby.
What have we got?
This would be wholesale. You're buying wholesale?
Yeah.
I don't know what it is.
Fred Meyer.
And how many would one be? How many in one case? How many would be normally in a case?
That's what it must have been.
Well, how many were in a case?
Oh, well, we weren't buying wholesale. We just went up there and
just went to Fred Meyer.
Bought them and sold them for more.
I see.
Oh. Had to be more than a dozen.
That would have been, they were apparently about 10 cents a pack.
Well, you can see if you look in there, see the picnic tables run here, clear around. And
I see.
And then he had bingo games, and there was a sign there. You can see a sign, here's the picnic tables.
Yeah.
I cannot figure out where I put my prints of these.
Oh, I see.
Oh, okay. Mm. So here's a bathhouse.
How many people did it take to operate
the park?
That's
back there where the big picnics were, all those organizations were, you know, and you used to have bingo games back there and stuff.
Hmm. Who want to get it?
Yes.
Oh, I'd say it took two. Sometimes three.
You hit the negatives, but they're not of anything.
Final blow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Was the park a good money maker for the family?
Not really, more of a hobby.
I see, fun to have people come to your place.
Grandpa enjoyed it.
Yeah. Was his idea to start it?
I don't know.
I'm sure it was. He loved to be around folks to take the money. It wasn't so much money as how much he enjoyed it.
Now, the people that came mostly from Sherwood and Antagonist Red Round.
Oh, no, they come out from Portland.
Portland.
Is that right?
Rebecca's and from Tigard and of course it was organizations.
St. John's Bachelor Club.
I see, sure.
That's what Jean Jurgen said when they had their park, they didn't have a river park. But she said people would come out from Portland just to be out in the country and play in the woods and play ball and have picnics and stuff.
Paul Schatz, or Schatz, somebody from Schatz Furniture, do you ever remember that name?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
They used to come out there.
Really?
Go just to fish, mainly. Mrs. Fields, from, you've read about her estate, I'm sure.
That's the house that you went to, I think.
Did you go through this, Ford's, what's it?
Yes, Thompson.
Well,
Ford,
which was the old Fields estate.
Yeah, that's right, Fields, yes. Mm-hmm. And what about that?
Well, I can remember that she used to come down to park now and then with her kids, some of the family. How did you enjoy going through that estate?
Well, I went primarily to see if it was the house I can remember seeing from our farm in the 30s. I can remember looking across on the side of Bull Mountain on summer evenings. It was all lit up. Something was all lit up and it looked like garden parties were happening. And I always wanted to find out where that was.
Uh-huh.
And that had to be that place that they had. It was a lively place. They had garden parties back in the house.
Yeah.
It was a splendid home that had been furnished.
What do you suppose that cost in 1926? Must have been $100,000.
Yes, I got the flight, that little folder that it was that or more, just enormous.
Well,
25,000 square feet, I think it was.
So it would have had to been,
yeah.
I think, in my mind,
yes,
around at least 100,000.
I'm sure.
In those days, what would that be now?
Well, story in the paper called it $1 million estate.
Yes, they just did the thing to cook on there.
Oh, yes.
Here's a gal cooking on coffee.
Yeah. This is the. Oh,
this is. Ivan says this is ice. Somebody must
it
have been
ice.
Out on that ice and taking a picture back from the the bridges behind them, and this is towards the float. See the float.
I see. Now, was your park visible from the bridge?
Oh, yes.
Bridge?
Well, you can see the float.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see.
That's all.
But he says that looks like ice, but see, there's nobody puts a date on it or nothing.
Yeah, there should be dates on
it.
And even say what it is. You know, this is Elsner Park.
Yeah.
That's
I'm trying to write on the back of stuff now.
Because I perish the thought that you folks should ever have in this world.
Oh,
but, you know, are your daughters going to know what this is?
That's right.
It's even hard enough as you get older to remember.
That's right. That's the trouble with all these things that you don't need to remember the day.
Uh-huh. Remember this kind of a blouse of the drawstring?
Oh, yeah.
Peasant blouse?
Yeah. Yeah.
Those are nice, interesting little stoves,
they
aren't they?
They sure
Mike
they are.
Mike McCann built those, and Mike
McCann.
You
see the one that did the float too?
Mm-hmm. And he also, I think, participated, I'm sure he was quite heavily involved in that St. Paul Lutheran Church.
Oh, what was his name, McCann?
Michael McCann.
Did he do other work for the
Ray camera? McCann used to be in the Sherwood Care.
Is that
McCann?
Is he a brother or a father?
Yeah.
Ray.
Brother. Ray McCann married
Annabelle Ficken.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they are. So this Mike McCann was Ray's brother or father?
Brother.
Did he build other floats and things for the other river parks?
I don't think so. He did a lot of construction work around the place for my dad when he started out. Then he got involved in the building homes. He built this home there for my brother.
Mm. Now, which house was yours?
You
lived in the big house.
We lived in the big house.
Well, when we first married, we lived up on Washington Hill in Sherwood.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. The house that belonged to his father.
Now, did
did all three families get along real well? None of my business.
Yeah.
I think we got along pretty good.
Well, that's
exceptional.
That's nice, because sometimes my family has thought about, my husband's family thought about getting a big farm together, and we'll never get along. You know, in close proximity.
They say it's not a good idea to go business with your relatives, they say.
Well, you learn to be tolerant here.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing you have to be.
If you're getting hungry, I'll get you something to nibble on. Something dark. Okay.
You don't have any of those early date pictures of Miss Post or anything showing me. That old book.
Where did you go to grammar school?
Went to Bend School,
mm-hmm.
What they called
it. School? There's a school on Big Bend Road?
Mm-hmm. One room school with eight grades.
Mm-hmm.
I think there was around 55, 60 kids in it.
Mm-hmm.
One teacher that everybody who had her just still remembers her and thinks
Harrison,
she was the greatest thing that ever happened
that
in their
right?
life.
Oh, isn't that
goodness.
Wonderful?
That's where I went to school. It was on the bottom of that picture about the bridge.
Oh, is that? Oh,
I don't know if there's anything in that old school or not.
No, that old school has moved three times and has been made into a real attractive home right there.
Really?
Stands right next to Myers Lane.
The school?
Yeah.
Myers Lane is on Deep Bend Road?
Myers Lane is on Deep Bend Road.
But it's, you never know it was a schoolhouse.
Until they changed from the...
The main body of the building is there, but then with the side extension and whatnot.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But you'd have to know...
teaches across the Curry Bridge on the way to Sherwood's roller rink. There was a roller rink in Sherwood?
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Now, where was that?
Where was the roller rink?
Oh, sure.
On the third floor
know.
Of this building.
Over the dance hall?
I don't know, but I've heard of it being there. Never in the nighttime.
In some ways, Sherwood has a wrenching history. The 12th,
mm-hmm.
of these
mm-hmm.
damaged